Now listen, we're all staying in here today unless you're in Nani's class. If you're in Nani's class, y'all ready, break for Nani's class. Everybody else is staying in here, okay? If y'all see Nani's class, them are the babies, the cute, pretty babies. Allie, you're cute and pretty, but you're not one of them babies. Uh-oh, my baby got taken away with them. We're going to be taking the Lord's Supper today. We don't like to make the Lord's Supper something that's just added on to a regular service as if it's some kind of formality that we have to do because we're a church. Can I tell you, the Lord's Supper is more important than that. And we take the Lord's Supper because Jesus told us to. For those of y'all who are into the red letters of the gospel in the Bible, you know, this is red letter stuff. Jesus said, take this stuff. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we're going to look at what it's about. And I know I've confessed this before, but I remember when I saw the Lord's Supper in my church in Michigan, I used to think, oh, man, it's going to be extra long. It's going to be, you know, they're going to preach a sermon after all the regular stuff, and then they're going to add the Lord's Supper on to it at the very end and make it for a long, long day at church. I had those ideas because I really didn't understand. I didn't understand how important the Lord's Supper was to the Lord. I didn't always get the meaning of it. But can I tell you, I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at it briefly, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. But can I tell you, this was the high point of fellowship that Jesus had with his disciples on earth. And he passes that on to us that we might find it to be a high point of fellowship with one another and with him on earth. Okay? In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 22, verses 14 through 23, this is what the Scripture says. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Let's pray. Father God, now we've heard your word, we've sang your praises. Would you fellowship with us? You say in your word, if anyone hears me knock and opens the door, that I will come in and have supper with them, and they'll have supper with me. Father, can I speak on behalf of Christ Community Church and say, we want to have supper with you. We want to enjoy this time of fellowship with you. We recognize that this has such a huge meaning for you. And Father, we want to match that. We don't want to take lightly what you thought much of. We want to match your fervent desire to have fellowship and supper with your people. So, Father, we're welcoming you here. We love you. Thank you for what you've done. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to look at 3 points in this passage, in this supper. One, as I've said, the Lord's Supper is the high point of fellowship in the Gospels. This is the high point of fellowship. All 12 disciples were there. There are other points of fellowship where Jesus just had the three, you know, the kind of the inner circle. But this was the point where everybody was invited to. After this point, everything Jesus does, he has to do on his own. After this point, You know, nobody can get betrayed with Jesus. He has to get betrayed on his own. No one gets beaten with Jesus. He gets beaten on his own. No one is crucified alongside Jesus for our sin. He has to be crucified as the one. He's a thief on his right hand and on his left hand, but nobody was with him. Nobody was in that position to die for our sins but Jesus alone. The Apostle John tagged along, but he was just a tag along. Mary, Jesus' mother, who loved him so, and she ached for her son, and you can imagine that. She tagged along too, but can I tell you, she added nothing to the redemption of our sins. She was just his mama who loved him and cared for him. Jesus, what he did alone. He died on the cross alone for us. So the high point of fellowship comes that night before his betrayal, the night before his trial, when he has all his disciples there. And he says it. I mean, he doesn't keep it secret. I have fervently desired. Fervent means hot. It means heat. It means a great desire to have this fellowship with you before I suffer. This is where he lays out the example. If we took this over into the Gospel of John, we see he lays out even a further example where he washes their feet and he gives them instructions and he talks with them about the Holy Spirit. This is the high time of fellowship. This is where the disciples had got together with him. Can I tell you, this is where he planned on his disciples meeting together all the time for him. When we have this is a time for the disciples of Christ, for those who have given their life to Jesus Christ, to say, this is why we're here. This is who we worship. This is who brings us together. A lot of people come to church because that's where their family goes. That's where their denominational ties are. That's where there's a lot of different reasons. That's where their networks are. That's where, you know, whatever it is. That's where they like the worship. That's where they like this and that. But can I tell you, if your choice of church doesn't reach deeper than that and come to the fact that we're bonded together through what Christ has done for us, you're still basing it on shallow values and you haven't gotten down deep. It ought to be the place where you say, I get together with those who love Christ and have been bought with his blood, and we are one. It's during this time that Jesus does go off and pray. And how did he pray? He prayed by himself. He invited three to come with him in that night of betrayal, but he went on a throw farther than them, and he prayed. But he prayed that they would be one, as he and his Father were one. What kind of example did he leave us? He left us this supper. Y'all, when we come together in the Lord's name every Sunday, it's a good thing. When we come together for the Lord's Supper, it ought to be a great thing. You know, this is not the time to talk about what's going on in the world and all these different things. It's the time to hone in and say, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Which brings me to my next point. The Lord's Supper is the connecting point between sinners and the Savior. The Lord's Supper is the connecting point. Not the supper itself, but what it represents. You know, the supper is representative, and it's pointing to the suffering of Jesus Christ. It's pointing to his body being crushed. It's pointing to his blood being shed. It's the point at which a lost sinner can become a saved saint and child of God. That's what it represents. The Lord's Supper ought to have not only a bonding point for the saints, for the disciples of Christ, but it ought to have that evangelistic point that says, remember, whether you're a sinner or a saint, you haven't come to God on your own merits. You don't come to God with your own potential. You've come to God because he gave his son for you. He gave his son for me. God so demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's in the Lord's Supper that we remember that good news. And is Christ dying good news to you? I hope it is for you. I hope the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is good news to you. But can I tell you, if it's not, let me tell you why it should be. Can I tell you? Because there is no way. There is no way, no plan, no man that could have made you right with God outside of Jesus Christ. There is no 12-step. I'm not against 12-stepping, but there's just no 12 steps to heaven. You can't buy the stairway to heaven. You can't get there any other way outside of Christ giving it to you as a gift. You can't be right with God. No one is recommended to God outside of the one who comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus, after the supper, said this, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." That's how important this is. It's this connecting point. And he uses the language of connection. One of the greatest bits of connection from God to us is the word give. Aren't you glad for what God has given? Think about that verse that we teach our children, and maybe this first verse they hear, and the verse they'll hear all their life if they're in church. "For God so loved the world that he," what? I'm so glad the one-third of you who know that. That's good. Hey, let's try it again. Gave. That's the secret word. "For God so loved the world that he
gave."
He gave. What's the connection between us and God? Does he respect your intellect? Does he respect your physical strength? Does he respect your wisdom? Does he respect your 401k and how wise you've been in the market and the financial resources you have? Does he respect your political connections? Does he respect any of those things? No. The connection between you and I and God is that he gave us something. And when we receive what he gave, then we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, he says in here, "Take this as my body given for you." That's a connection. The only connection you and I have from God. We can't reach up to him. He gave his hand down to us. And we receive it or we don't. "For the wages of sin is death, but the
gift of God."
Gift. Amen. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." That's our connection. It's the gift. Will you receive the gift? Will you unwrap the gift? Will you just, it's been given. Will you take it? That's our connection with God. He uses another word of connection, and that's the word covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's not a word we use all the time. We use words more like contract or agreement. Jesus says this in verse 20, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." This cup is the new covenant. It's the agreement. It's the contract. It's what connects us. It's given in my blood which is shed for you. This is the cup after supper. Luke shows us there was another cup in verse 17 and 18. We're not going to talk about that cup. But I just want you to notice there was a cup. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he passed it around and they all drank from it. And he said, "I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the wine or vine again until the kingdom comes." But then he says in verse 20, he also took the cup after supper, whole different cup. In the Jewish Passover feast, if you've been paying attention at Christ Community Church, we've kind of had some teaching on this over the years. That cup after supper represented redemption. God's redeeming power, God's redeeming ability. He takes that cup after supper and he says, this cup of redemption is given to you in my blood. That's how we connect to him. I'm so glad. Y'all, this is the good news. Remember I told you why it was going to be good news? What you could not do, what I could not do on my own, God has done for us through the person of Jesus Christ. Though we could not reach up, he came down to us. I'm looking, that's a nice clothespin right there, man. I'm liking that, yep. I like it. And I'm sorry, I got distracted for a minute from my young friend right there. But I'm going to tell you something. What we could not do on our own, God has done for us. And you know what? I might preach for another 50 years, and that's the good news I'm going to preach about. What we could not do for us, God has done for us. What we couldn't do for ourselves, God has done for us. He did it through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a connecting point. That's it. And I'm going to ask this now, but I'm going to ask it in a minute. Are you connected? Are you connected through the blood? Are you connected through the hope that you're a good enough person to make it? Are you connected through the blood of Jesus Christ that was given as a gift? Or are you still trying to make things balance out in the scales of life? Because I'm going to tell you, there's only one of those ways that works. And that's coming in full surrender. I can't do it. You've done it for me. I give my life up to you. Save me, Lord. That's it. That word new covenant is so rich. That word new covenant actually comes from the Old Testament, where God prophesied, there's going to be a new agreement between you and me. It's not going to be like the law. It's going to be something internal. It's going to be something spiritual. It's going to be something written on your heart. It's going to be something that you can't get away from and break. That's the new covenant. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's not anywhere else. No agreement with God will stand. I don't care if you heard them, if you had visions and you've dreamed dreams. You know, the Bible said old men will have visions and dream dreams. Listen, I don't care what vision and dream you may have had. If it tells you something other than the blood of Jesus Christ, don't you be fooled and baffled. I've went to the hospital to speak to people, and they came up and said, I'm okay with Jesus because I had a near-death experience, and I was on a grassy knoll with my family, and they all told they were all there, and I feel like I'm okay with Jesus. I don't care what you saw when you were on drugs and in the hospital. All due respect, it comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant, not just being well on a grassy knoll with a soft light shining on you. Don't be fooled by those things. It's the blood of Christ is the new covenant, not the way you feel. Come on. All right. Now I get an amen. Amen, that's what I'm talking about. It's only by the blood of Jesus. Can I say it? I can't say it enough, I know. You know, we're a newer church, even though, you know, we're going on 16, 17 years, something like that, but we're still a new church. I'm still, you know, looked on as a young preacher, although I've been doing this for a little while now. But can I say, I don't got no clever ideas that I heard from seminary. There's nothing in the new books that have supplanted the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the old-timey, old thing you've heard your whole life if you've been in a good Bible-preaching church. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. That will never change. It's days like today. We just come back to it. It's not about having a good marriage or being a good parent or being a part of the PTA or being a community pillar or all those other things. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. I just can't say it enough. All right? Last point, we're going to come. This another thing the Lord's Supper does, and it's taught throughout the Scripture, but it's exampled here. It's a point of examination. It's an examination point. Am I where I need to be with God? Have I trusted in His blood? This is like a time for a checkup, okay? Now, the example is given here. Jesus says, in a way that was shocking to them. Remember, this is a high point of fellowship, but he says, someone here is a betrayer. His hand is on the table with me. At that point, the disciples were thrown into shock, and it says they began to question, which of them was to do this thing? Which of them was it? Who was the betrayer? Now, it's at this high point of our fellowship in church. I'm not going to say there's a betrayer among us. But might I say this? There may be someone among us who is trusting something other than the blood of Jesus Christ to get them to heaven. There might be someone here who has not fully surrendered their life to Jesus Christ and is still counting on some other way, like having, you know, a good family name, whatever it may be. Maybe there's someone else, there's someone here who's figuring there's a loophole in the system somewhere. Can I just tell you, take this time to examine yourself. There's no loophole. He gave his body. He shed his blood. That is the only covenant. You know, it says new covenant. Can I tell you, that's the only covenant. That's it. There's no others. There is no God. There is no other. There is no Savior but our God, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, is the way it says it in the book of Titus. That's it. Examine ourselves. So we're going to have a time just to examine ourselves before we take the Lord's Supper, okay? In the book of 1 Corinthians, it deals with this. If I can get over to 1 Corinthians, as long as nobody changed it out of my Bible. Y'all didn't mess with it, did you? Thank you, baby. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it gives this description of an examination. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And it says, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come to judgment. And it says, and the rest of the things I'll set in order when I come. What he's saying is, take this time, and we're going to take this time, just to have a prayerful moment. Just to have a quiet moment. Quiet moments aren't really big in church either. Not really big in our church. We don't like the quiet. I don't like quiet moments. I can't stand them long. But we're going to take as much as I can stand. We're going to have a quiet moment. And what I want you to ask yourself is this one pointed question: do I belong to Jesus Christ through faith in his blood? Do I belong to Jesus Christ through faith in his sacrifice? Let's put it that way. Okay? Not any other way. If the answer is yes, I don't care what church you belong to, because we have guests and visitors here. I don't care where you come from. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you're welcome to participate with us. It's an open fellowship that way. And you'll see how we do it. We come up front and we take the elements from those who are handing them out. If, though, when you have this time and you do not belong to Jesus Christ through faith in his sacrifice, through faith in him, if you don't belong to him, do I encourage you? One, make it right. Just surrender your life to him. You don't need me to verify that. God is alive. Jesus Christ is living, the living Lord. You don't need me to come and lay my hands on you and say, oh, you're ready for Lord's Supper now. If you don't belong to the Lord, get belonging to him. He's done everything. Now just receive the gift. If you're not in the right place to take this supper, you do belong to him, but you say, I have such and such against someone, or someone has such and such against me, then pray it through and offer, you know, repent, do what you need to do before you take the supper. But examine yourself. And respond to God. And don't be ashamed of how you have to respond. It's nobody's business but yours and God's. Don't be ashamed of how you have to respond. You just do what God tells you. Okay, now we're going to have that time of quiet right now. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll just take a time of examination. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time that we can examine and ask ourselves, are we in? Show us, Lord, if we're in with you, not with the church, not with your people. Are we in with you or are we out? Show us, Father. You've made the way possible. Help us to answer the question, do I belong to Jesus through faith in his sacrifice? Help us to answer that, yes or no. We pray in Jesus' name. You all just pray. Just pray and seek what God would have you do. Need more time to deal with God. You just keep on dealing with him, and just let me talk, and you just keep dealing with God. He's much more important. And so I'm going to ask those who I asked to come help me with the Lord's Supper to come forward now. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that, again, you would bless us and that you'd be honored as we do what your word says to do. We take this in honor of you, in remembrance of you. We know that these are simple symbols, but we know what they represent. We know who they represent. And because of that, we say, Lord, be glorified in your body, the church. We love you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jack, his body was broken for you because he loves you. And his blood was shed for you because he loves you. LG, his body was broken for you because he loves you. His blood was shed for you because he loves you. Bill, his body was broken for you because he loves you. His blood was shed for you because he loves you. Thank you. You got it. Thank you, Lord. We come to the bread first. And then when we've taken the juice, and it's juice, just come on up and put it into the bucket. And so, with no further ado, let's take the Lord's Supper together. And look, I know it's a solemn time, but if it's good news to you, it's okay to let it show on your face that it's good news to you. Okay? All right. Y'all come forward. Take the bread and then the juice. And y'all come on this side.